New CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Hands where we can see them!
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it up!
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. I'm Billy Ambody. With me is Sunny Ship. First of all, hope everyone is staying safe with this Hurricane Delta approaching. Everybody on the Gulf Coast bracing for this, obviously, to hit. And look, I mean, if you're in the path of this storm, and you know, hopefully this podcast eats up a little bit of time ahead of this weekend where LSU is going to take on Missouri, not in Baton Rouge. The game has been moved to Columbia, and for the first time ever, LSU is going to play at Missouri in this series. It's the third meeting between the two teams. The game is going to be broadcast at 11 a.m. Central Time. I believe the game on TV is still being looked at, but it is going to be on an ESPN platform for this one. And so we await the TV broadcast information as we're recording this. But, Sonny, this is one where, obviously, the teams have had to adjust. LSU has had to adjust by moving around the game and moving and setting up travel plans to get up to Missouri for an early kickoff. But in the end, instead of an 8 o'clock game on ESPN, they're going to be playing an 11 a.m. game. It'll allow them to get back earlier. And Ed Ogeron said that was something the school wanted so that they could get a little bit more rest ahead of the Florida game. Overall, this is a weird, unique situation, but I think kudos to the SEC and both schools for getting it done quickly.
Yeah, and when the SEC made out the new conference-only schedule, and we saw Vanderbilt and Missouri was going to be the two teams added, you know, most felt that Vandy would come here since LSU went there last year, and that LSU would go to Missouri since the two teams have only met once since Missouri joined the SEC, and Missouri came to Baton Rouge, so they figured it would be a return trip for LSU, but it didn't work out in that like that. But it's funny how I guess destiny plays itself out. But you know, I get Ed Orgeron about wanting the, you know, to get as much rest and stuff. I don't like the early kickoff. I don't like the 11 a.m. kickoff just because traditionally LSU has been a little bit slower to start, especially when you look at this year. You look at the you look at the first half of each of the two contests. LSU has played better in the second half, especially on offense. And I would like to see him play a little bit later in the afternoon, 2:30 or so. But hey, it is what it is. Ed Orgeron's mantra is, we'll play anywhere, anytime, and now they're going to play at Missouri, and they'll be having some. I guess they'll be putting some mimosas in the Gatorade bottles.
Yeah. Get up with a little mimosa, a little Bloody Mary, and roll out of bed, have a shower beer, and get ready to watch this one, because LSU is coming off a nice win over Vanderbilt. Obviously, you know, nothing to write home about, but after week one, that was notable for them to bounce back. And now they get a team that's 0-2 and breaking in a new quarterback in Connor Bazalak. He entered the game against Tennessee last week in the second quarter and moved around the offense a little bit there. Went 13 of 21 for 218 yards. So not a bad showing for his first, not his first action, but his first action of the season, I believe, getting into that game and moving the offense. So, Sonny, I think after the first two games with LSU's pass rush, the thing I'm going to be looking for the Tigers to do, well, I guess the LSU Tigers to do, is get after Connor Bazalak and make him feel uncomfortable as he's getting his first start.
Yeah, he's making his first start, and he doesn't have the mobility, the same level of mobility, ability to make plays with his feet as TCU graduate transfer Sean Robinson, who was the number 6 dual threat and quarterback in the country when he came out And I believe it was 2015 or 2016. But, you know, he was a highly recruited guy. I went to TCU, didn't work out there, came in here. And he's just struggled to move the team, to move the ball. You know, he completed 21 out of 29 of his passes, or 20 out of 29 of his passes in the first two games, but only for about a buck 85. And he wasn't a threat running the ball. Basilak relieved him in both of the in the Alabama game, also in the Tennessee game. And head coach Eli Drinkwitz said that you know, that Basilak moved the ball for him a little bit more, gave him a little bit more, and they were going to stick with him. So it'll be interesting to see. But you know, the key whenever you have a first time starter, especially someone who is you know, who is not a major threat to run with the football, it's get after him. And when you look at LSU stats, Cody Worsham, LSU's sports.net digital media reporter, he tweeted out an interesting stat that I'm going to assume that he got from Pro Football Focus. And that's LSU is first in the SEC in quarterback hurries with 40, quarterback hits with 14, and pressures with 58. Their eight sacks are tied for second in the conference as well. And I think it all starts up front. It all starts with Ali Gay. You look at how he had the big game against Mississippi State, got a sack, broke up three passes. Wasn't quite the difference maker as he was against Mississippi State, as he was against Vanderbilt, as he was against Mississippi State. But he didn't have to be, because LSU, unlike the first game, LSU got good solid play along the defensive front. Andre Anthony had a career high game. Travis Moore had a career high game. The defensive tackles played better. You get Glenn Logan back this week. So it all really sets up for, you know, for LSU strength on defense, which is to get after the quarterback. And for what seems like Missouri's only real chance to move the football, you know, off the right arm of Connor Basilak, it's kind of pitting best against best, in my opinion.
Yeah, and one thing to note about Sean Robinson is him and Ed Ingram were high school teammates at DeSoto. So a little reunion of DeSoto U on Saturday as well for those two guys. And with Connor Basilak making his first start, they're going to look for a good, you know, run game, which is something they've gotten out of Larry Roundtree III, one of the more experienced running backs in the country, and especially in the SEC. Ran for 84 yards on 18 attempts last week against Tennessee, and he's tallied almost 3,000 career yards. He's at 2,899 yards right now, sixth in school history. And so LSU's going to hope that he doesn't hit that 3,000-yard plateau against them. And if they're able to bottle him up like Tennessee did, that'll bode well to really, I think, you know, it depends on how LSU's offense does. But if they can bottle up Larry Roundtree and you know, force Connor Basilak to win the game, this is going to bode really well for LSU. And it could be one of those games similar to Vanderbilt where, you know, LSU's going to be able to win comfortably.
Yeah, I think so. You know, Roundtree, 5'10", 210-pounder. He averaged about 69 yards a game last year on the ground. But I think he's got sled and running against LSU. LSU's Bo Pelini knows that Eli Drinkwitz has to get some semblance of a run game to take some of the pressure off of Basilak. And that's going to – I think LSU's just going to try to clog everything up right there and, you know, and put everything on the shoulders of Basilak. And, you know, it's a lot easier going into a game when you're, you know, when you're down 14-0 against Tennessee, when you're down big against Alabama. You know, it's a lot easier to go in there and to throw the ball around the yard than it is to start a game when it's 0-0 and you know, you're going against a defense's, you know, best scheme, a scheme that they've charted for the first, you know, whether it's 10, 15, 20 plays of coming out in. And so it's going to be tougher sledding. But I think the one thing that might benefit Missouri is that, you know, it is an early start. Missouri has gotten off to such a slow start in both of the first two contests, outscored 49-9. and you know, averaging basically 63 yards in the you know, in the first 30 minutes of play. And so I think that Bazelak will give them a spark. You know, it finally gives the offense something to kind of go out there, let's show the football. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Missouri score its score its first touchdown of the season in the first half against LSU. But you know, one thing that we've seen from Bo Pelini's defense, at least against Vanderbilt, is that they made adjustments. They came back out in the second half and they basically shut Vandy down completely. I want to say it was like 63 yards or 69 yards that they allowed in the second half. And so getting Glenn Logan back, having Derek Stingley back there, just a different defense. And, you know, I think the second half is where you kind of start to see LSU really, really flex that muscle and really kind of start to distance itself.
And last time against Missouri was Ed Ogeron's first game as interim head coach that year in 2016. And I'm not so sure LSU is going to hit the 634 total yards of offense, 418 of which came on the ground with Darius Geis and Darrell Williams, each scoring three touchdowns. But I think with LSU, one, Miles Brennan needs to continue to build off of what he did last week against Vanderbilt, another 300-yard passing game to start his career. And he'll do it with an offensive line that, once again, has a change up front. It won't be Ed Ingram, most likely, who probably, quite honestly, I don't know what the COVID protocols would be, but he might not make the trip. I mean, I hope he gets to make the trip to see Sean Robinson and have a little reunion, but it'll be Charles Turner at left guard, who's done a tremendous job bulking up, getting ready. We saw Marlon Martinez at left guard against Vanderbilt, but Ed Ogeron has said it's going to be Charles Turner this week that gets the time in place of Ed Ingram in this one. So for LSU, I think with Miles, you've just got to continue to get the running game going early on and then allow him to settle in.
Yeah, I agree. It's, you know, it's no secret that, you know, he continued to look better against Vanderbilt. Once they started running the ball more effectively and John Emery got going. And so that's going to be a key, and that's going to be a key in every contest. But I think especially when you play a, you know, when you play a team that you're supposed to beat by 20 plus points, you know, it's you go out there, you establish the run, you flex some muscle, you try to break their will early on. And I look for LSU to do that. As far as the offensive line goes, you know, like you mentioned, I'm with you, you know, three games in, three different offensive line starting combinations if Ingram is out like we expect. And so, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, does Charles Turner hold it down? Do they go with Marlon Martinez also, who the true freshman who played for Ingram last week? Ed Orgeron mentioned Joseph Evans, who has started at defensive tackle the first two games, that he's a guy who could, you know, who could even play on that side of the ball if Charles Turner struggles a little bit. You know, I just want to see and I don't want to see Charles Turner struggle, but, you know, personally, I'd like to see Joseph Evans go out there, play some defense, and then they flip him over to the offensive side of the ball too. That might be one of the first times that I could recall seeing that in modern-day college football history.
And, Sonny, LSU's gotten great special teams play this year. Derek Stingley Jr. returned with a few nice punt returns against Vanderbilt. You know, Cade York's been getting plenty of praise, had a nice field goal, against Vanderbilt. Zach Von Rosenberg had a great first outing against Mississippi State, unfortunately for the LSU offense. And then Avery Adkins has been doing his thing. But true freshman kicker Harrison Mevis kicked a 50-yarder last week against Tennessee. He was one of the top-ranked kickers in the country coming out of Indiana. And now, I mean, he's a weapon for them. So special teams could play a big role in this one as well.
Yeah, he's a weapon. But if, you know, I think that for him to factor into this outcome, that there would be a lot of things that would have to go wrong for LSU. You know, you're talking about, you know, we're talking about the defense giving up huge chunks of yards again, giving up touchdowns, giving up, just having a really bad day. Because I'm on the train that, you know, I think Miles Brennan, I think he's going to continue to get better every week. I think he's going to get better, you know, get better this week against Missouri. You're going to really start to, I think you saw him start to build some confidence last week. I mean, you look at the game that he had, I want to say 28 out of 30. I think LSU had, what was it, five or six drops? It was six drops in the first one. Was it five last week against Vandy? But if you tack on his drops into his stats last week, I mean, he's completing 75% of his passes for 400 yards, you know? That's yet you hate to see the comparisons to Joe Burrow, yet that's where everyone goes. And that's Joe Burrow type numbers right there, you know? So I think you see Miles Brennan continue to take those steps, continue to improve with his decision making, with getting rid of the ball quicker, for that passing game to continue to click even more, because I do think that the receivers are going to start catching those balls. Ed Orgeron said on Monday that, you know, there were some guys who had some extra running to do after practice. They were going to spend all, you know, a lot more time on the jugs machines this week in practice. So I think you're going to see that continue to click to where, although Harrison Mevis and Cade York are both leading the SEC in field goals, I don't think we're going to see this come down to either one of those guys.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I mean, hopefully not for LSU. A lot of people are picking them in this one to win big. I mean, they're favored by 20 points in this one. And, you know, I think last week we both had LSU narrowly covering against Vanderbilt. And look, they did, you know, 41-7 win in Nashville. LSU, like I said, favored by 20.5, I believe it is, depending on where you get your number from. But Sonny, what do you have in this one? Does LSU cover again? Do they win? What's the story here?
Man, if it stays at 20.5, I got them covering. You know, I do think Missouri is going to have that they're going to be playing with a little more spirit of let's go out, let's shock the world, let's prove everybody wrong. We got this new guy in at quarterback. He's going to throw the ball a little bit better. I do think that Missouri is going to score early. And then I think that they're going to get a late garbage score. But, you know, in this one, I think LSU just continues to do the things that they need to do on offense. I think the slow start does factor into LSU's point production, but they get it going in the second half. And if it stays at 20.5, I like them to cover at 38-17.
That was what you picked last week, no?
No, I think I actually picked 41.
Oh, okay. I might have been the 38. I think yeah. We both had pretty similar picks in the LSU Vanderbilt matchup. And I'm going to go with LSU, of course, in this one. I am going to take them 42-20. So I think maybe this one gets a little bit higher scoring and things like that. But overall, I mean, I think LSU goes on the road, takes care of business, and is able to come away with the win in this one.
Yeah, I think it's going to just set up nicely for that big one next week against Florida. Just to really make that first big matchup aside from the opener that LSU fans really look to. Yeah, while Bill, and looking at it last week, I actually had LSU 41-13.
Okay, glad you ran it back. Yeah, so, 41-13, so you had him even bigger.
Yeah, I had to throw that out there. At least I got the 41 right.
Yeah, you nailed that.
You had 41-20, and then Shea D had 35-16. So.
Shea didn't have him covering. Wow. Yeah. Don't take Shea D.
Y'all owe me drinks now for that
one. Well, all right. Well, I hope everybody enjoys this one. Mainly stay safe. Sonny, you guys stay safe. And obviously with the storm coming, you know, that's probably at the forefront of everybody's mind. But hopefully you guys out there listening to our podcast have some power, some TV, and can buckle in and watch the game and join the you know, Go 24/7 message board conversation during it. The live threads are always lit. But yeah, Sonny, hope you guys are staying safe over there.
Man, absolutely. I think it's going to miss us and stuff. You know, I don't think we're going to get much from it. Hopefully we don't get one of these gusts that comes through there and knocks out power for a little bit, because I hate to have to climb that. I hate to have to go outside and climb that pole and try to see if I can get fix it to watch the game. This is the first good weekend I'm looking forward to of college football. Early start. We don't have to go out of town for soccer. We're home. You got some good games to watch. And, oh, man, I better not lose power. Prayers for all of those in Southwest Louisiana, because that's obviously a lot more serious situation for them. And really pray for all those folks over in Southwest Louisiana that it doesn't hit them as hard as Laura did.
Yeah, echoing that as well. Was texting with Jay Anderson, Bryce Anderson's dad, the 2022 safety commit, and he was just telling me, man, we just can't catch a break over here. So hopefully, you know, somehow this thing fizzles or whatever and moves quickly through and you know, everybody stay safe out there. But with that, we're going to close out this podcast. Hope everyone stays safe out there you know, this weekend, like we said, and enjoys the LSU-Missouri game, a little early kick. So enjoy your mimosas, you grab a Bloody Mary, and head over to go247.com for all your coverage. And we'll be back with another edition of the pod after the game, and we will share our reactions and check in with you guys. So thanks for listening, and have a great, safe weekend.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.